Well, one of the things we love the most about living in Southern California is the Channel 4 news coverage.
It's interesting you should mention that, Kevin, because they barely mentioned the recent heat wave. Killer heat wave bakes Southern California. Listen to this. A heat wave swept Southern California for a seventh day on Monday, claiming the lives of an elderly couple, setting record temperatures and leaving thousands of customers without power. What happened, Lisa? You were talking about that earlier. What happened with the old folks?
They were in their 80s. The man was in a wheelchair. They lived in Studio City. Apparently, they had an air conditioner, but I heard Doc earlier say that it was broken. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get it to work, and they died. And when they found them, it was 105 outside, 110 in their apartment.
Oh, dear God.
Ouch.
They must have lived in Woodland Hills. Power?
No.
They were in Studio City. That's how freaking hot it is.
Yeah.
Studio City is now like Woodland Hills. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Let me add that and say it was not frosty in Southern California over the weekend. If I could be so bold as to put
that much of a point on it.
It was actually not at all chilly. Very few Arctic references being made this weekend.
Here's a few of the highlights of some of the TV coverage from over the weekend.
Well, it wasn't a twister, Sylvia, but certainly some twisted weather.
A freak flash flood made flashlights the most sought-after item Friday night.
Whose idea was this? The asphalt itself is about 300 degrees. Tack on 100 and a dime in atmospheric temperature, and you have perhaps the most uncomfortable task of the day.
So what do you do? How much water do you drink?
About 2 gallons.
2 gallons an hour.
An hour and 20 minutes.
What's the worst part of the day?
Right now.
I do plumbing, and I'm going to be going and digging a sewer line up, which is your main, you know.
In 110-degree heat?
Yeah, just water. Keep yourself cooled off. Take breaks.
Right now, we are having clear weather, but as I take a look at the clouds, you know, I would have to say it's very unstable. We're hearing thunder, and it could start raining again. Right now, the pavement has dried off, but that could change within a matter of minutes. They change rapidly here in the mountains.
No sign of rain in the skies, but plenty of these on the ground.
While it's so hot, I thought I might take an umbrella. It might make me feel a little cooler. Doesn't help.
With temperatures in the triple digits, that isn't a surprise. Some restaurant names not conducive with al fresco dining. Outdoor eating areas this afternoon abandoned. But not everyone is suffering in the heat. John Christopher's house is made out of stone. An excellent insulator, he says, to the blistering temperatures outside.
So it stays pretty cool inside even when it's hot out there. About 20 degrees difference.
A new house, though, isn't a requirement for coolness.
Right.
Just ask little Kevin Gowder here.
I'm just drinking mango juice, and that's how I keep myself cool when I go in the heat.
I don't.
Oh, all I have God. To do is drink the mango juice?
Honestly, I don't need to know how a four-year-old stays cool.
Why do they do that?
Why do they do that?
Well, the only thing worse than me and the couple in Studio City that died is being poor Doug Kriegel for Channel 4. It doesn't matter how hot it is or how many days in a row, they make him go out and cover the heat with all the various angles. And I believe we have Doug, a hookup with Doug, don't we?
Yes,
good morning, Mr. Kriegel. How are you?
Hello, Kevin and Pete. How are you?
We're good. How are you today, Doug?
Out here in the street, and it's just too hot.
Oh, wow. Whoa, Doug. We're on the air right now, dude.
I am so tired of standing out here talking about the goddamn heat.
Now, Doug, I saw you on the news Friday afternoon and then Saturday, and then they sent you out there again Sunday and then Monday for Labor Day. You're telling me you're still covering the heat from all over the Southland on Channel 4?
Boy, isn't it hot out here. Look at all the heat. This
Doug,
is bullshit.
Doug, we have to watch our language.
I don't give a anymore.
Wow.
I used to have a career. I used to be a real reporter.
Well, that's when you could breathe, Doug.
Is part of the problem that they said you're out every day and you've got to make news out of something that frankly isn't news? We all know it's hot out and there's only so many ways you can talk about it.
Hey, what's in that water bottle? Are you staying hydrated? You.
Doug, maybe you've done a few too many stories about the heat.
Son, I hate it. If I had my way, I would just destroy the sun.
Well, I don't think you have that option.
Have you done any of those hard-hitting interviews this morning that I like so much where you ask little kids what they're doing to stay cool?
Yes. I found some kids playing in a fire hydrant.
Uh-huh.
And I said, turn that fire hydrant off. Don't you know we're out of water? kids. that won't be on the air today.
So you've spent a little too much time in the heat. That's what you're saying.
I think I have a stroke.
Yeah.
Is it warm out there at all this morning, Doug?
No, it's nice. Yes, it's hot. My balls are hanging so low right now. My old scrotum stretched to its capacity.
I don't need to hear about any more of
that. Look at my low-hanging balls. Now that would be some news.
Yes,
hey, Paul Moyer, look at my low-hanging. They're sticking to my thigh.
All right, Doug, we got to run.
Look at me. I'm hot. It's hot out here.
All right, we get that.
Hey, Chuck Henry, look how my droopy are hot. This.
Right now, though, the return of the man who does it best, Ralph Garman, with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Yes, I'm back from vacation. However, Kevin and Bean are going on vacation this week, so that's why you're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 5:55 a.m., and here is the Showbiz Beat. Well, it was all about the Emmys last night. I don't know if anybody had the guts to watch Ryan Seacrest host the Emmys last night. I opted instead to watch the Patriots take on the Chargers last night because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
And as much as I love show business, football still rules.
And that's a premier game in the NFL right there.
Although by the time it was 24-0, I was losing some interest. However, the Emmys, well, by all accounts, didn't suck. They weren't interesting, but they weren't horrible. So there's really nothing of merit to talk about. I did flip over at one moment, though, and catch Wayne Brady playing a live version of Don't Forget the Lyrics with Kanye West and Rainn Wilson from The Office. And the topic was Kanye West songs.
He loves himself some Kanye.
And Rainn Wilson beat him.
Really?
Yeah. And Kanye said, wow, I don't win anything.
Oh,
referring,
see?
Of course, to the MTV Awards and everything else that he's cranky about. So here's a short list of Emmy winners. Comedy series, 30 Rock. They're saying 30 Rock's better than all the other shows on television that are comedies, like The Office and funny things.
You don't
like
have
that.
Time to name a list of shows better than that.
There's a whole bunch of honked-up awards this year. However, they did get one right. Actor in a comedy, Ricky Gervais, for Extras on HBO. I think that was well-deserved. Best drama series was The Sopranos. No surprise there. They were all about The Sopranos last night. A lot of tributes to that groundbreaking television show, including having the Broadway cast of The Jersey Boys come out and sing Frankie Valli songs.
Okay.
Because, see, it takes place in Jersey.
It does.
You see the tangential relationship there? Best actor in a drama, James Spader from Boston Legal. Better than Hugh Laurie on House or James Gandolfini on Sopranos. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. Sure.
Did they flash to Gandolfini when they announced that?
Well, he looks sour all the time. Yeah. He's just miserable looking all the time. Best actress in a drama, Sally Field for Brothers and Sisters. I had to laugh because Lisa May is the only person I know in the world who's ever seen that show. And
she's doing a victory dance at home.
Sally Field won an award for it. Best actress in a comedy, America Ferrera for Ugly Betty. Best reality competition show, The Amazing Race, which wins every year, wins the Emmys. And here was a little bit of a surprise. Best reality series went to our pal Kathy Griffin for My Life on the D-List over there on Bravo.
Good for her.
There'll be no living with her now that she's an Emmy winner, I'll tell you.
She's no longer D-List, I guess.
I guess she's not. Let's take a look from television to the movies over the weekend. Box office results are in from Daily Variety. Number one at the box office this weekend, The Brave One. The debut of the Jodie Foster revenge thriller. $14 million it made at the box office this weekend. Number two was last week's number one movie, 310 to Yuma. Made $9.2 million at the box office. Did you catch that, Mike? I know you're a big Western fan. I know you like the original. I wonder if you had caught up with the remake.
I totally wanted to, but with the Inland Invasion or LA Invasion this weekend, I just didn't have time.
Busy
but I will definitely get to the theater to see that.
You know, I saw last week while I was on vacation was Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen. Oh, it's awesome. I can't believe it's not a bigger hit. It's so much fun.
Critically acclaimed, not a lot of fans commercially, though.
No, not even in the top 10 this weekend. Mr. Woodcock. Number three at the box office this weekend, and its debut made $9 million. Dragon Wars was number four at the box office.
What's that?
Shoot 'Em Up, not even in the top 10. Dragon Wars, number four. I didn't even know there was a movie called Dragon Wars. What the hell? $5.4 million made it number four at the box office. Superbad, $5.2 million made it number five. Then Halloween, The Bourne Ultimatum, Balls of Fury, Rush Hour 3, and Mr. Bean's Holiday. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Shoot 'Em Up, not in the top 10. Dragon Wars, representing.
What's wrong with you people?
Representing medieval dragons everywhere. Oh, dear Lord in heaven. Here's a story that proves to you that Colin Farrell is a guy you want to have a beer with. I've always felt that way. Of course, I probably couldn't keep up with him. He'd probably have a lot more beers than me.
Yeah.
But he seems like a really good dude. And this story comes out of Toronto, and I thought it was fascinating. 4 years ago, Colin Farrell was up in Canada shooting a movie. And there was a wacky morning radio show that said whoever could get Colin Farrell into the studio would win like $2,000.
Okay.
And they were talking about it all the week that he was there shooting. So Colin Farrell goes out into the street and finds a homeless dude and says, come with me. And he takes the homeless dude to the radio station and says, this guy brought me in.
Awesome.
So the guy cashes in $2,000 because Colin Farrell just plucks him off the street and gives him a couple bucks.
Good for him.
This is about 4 years ago. So he's back in town shooting another movie, and he runs into the same homeless dude on the street. His name is Stress, by the way, is the homeless dude's name.
Stress.
So he reconnects with Stress, and you see Stress is hurting. So he grabs him and takes him to a store, a place called the Europe Bound Travel Outfitters, and says, hook this guy up, whatever he needs, and hands it to the guy who manages the place a credit card. So Stress picked himself up a $500 jacket, a backpack, some socks, some underwear, some boots, a sleeping bag. And then Colin Farrell pays a year's rent on the place, a place for the guy to stay.
Look at that.
How about that? Colin Farrell, everybody. He's not just a boozing womanizer.
No.
Although I
the
like,
softer side.
That's my favorite part of him. But still, gotta like a story like that. And Britney Spears. Oh, the only thing I was upset about last week when I was on vacation is that I missed out on the opportunity to talk about Britney, her amazing performance at the Video Music Awards.
Amazing.
Still, my eyes are still bleeding from having watched that.
You are not kidding. It was amazing.
It was amazing, yes. Well, she's got a new idea how to revamp her image. Apparently, she is going to do a provocative layout for Maxim magazine.
Nope. Don't want
it. Yeah. Yeah. Do we want to see it? Does anyone care?
No. Well, here's the deal. It's going to be a provocative layout of computer-generated Britney with some Franken body that they stretch out and airbrush, and then they'll slop her makeup-covered face on it.
I don't even see why she would do that, because that's not the part of her that needs the rehab, you know? It's her career. It's her singing, performing side of her life that needs to be revamped. Not the fact that she can pose for pictures and look like a whore. We know that. I just hope she covers up the gut.
She needs to do like Elvis did before the comeback special. Just take like 8 months and just
go into training, disappear.
And just train his ass off, her ass off.
Come out.
Sing, practice, get her voice in check.
Smoking hot.
Yeah.
Do a live show where she actually sings, just knock everybody on their ass. That's her only hope now.
Posing
in the pages of Maxim isn't going to do anything. But that's easier because that's the way she can get loaded every night and just ignore her kids and show up.
The youth today, they're looking for the quick fix, Ralph Garman.
The kids today, you're so right, Psycho Mike. Oh, those kids. Damn kids with their kids.
Meddling kids.
I don't have time here. It's already 6:02 on the world-famous K-Rock, Los Angeles, Pasadena, 106.7 FM. But I will come back in about an hour, and we will talk about O.J. Simpson getting arrested over the weekend, which is a story I haven't had a chance to talk to you about, but I am fascinated by.
Oh, yeah.
The inner workings of the mind of Orenthal James Simpson. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays, shall we? Dougie Fresh celebrates his 41st birthday today. You know it's going to be a weak list when I'm starting off with Dougie Fresh.
Right out of the gate.
Kyle Chandler from Early Edition and Friday Night Lights. He's 42 years old today. Baz Luhrmann, who, of course, was the director of Moulin Rouge and also gave us that sunscreen song. Remember that a few years ago, that big hit?
No.
If I could give you any advice, where sunscreen would be it. You remember that?
No.
We might have to dig that up. I'm going to play a little sunscreen.
Okay.
It's been a while. He's 45 years old today. And our pal, Cassandra Peterson, former K-Rock DJ, of course, later went on to be the legendary Elvira, celebrates her 56th birthday today. And for 56, we had her in the show recently. We had her in the show recently. And I remember Psycho Mike, you and I agreeing that we'd still like to.
There's a list of hot chicks over 50. She's number one with a bullet.
Spend some time with
concerned.
The Mistress of the Dark, as far as I'm concerned. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, if you're Mexican, be careful. I heard from your grandmother that if you listen to this next segment, you'll go blind. Time to talk about Mexican superstitions. I don't know how. I guess it's just it all started from a phone caller that we got a couple of days ago. But the email and the phone calls and the Afro line calls are just pouring in. I guess, well, you Mexicans are superstitious people, it sounds like.
It does seem like the Mexican community is more superstitious than a lot.
Yes.
What came up yesterday is if you watch a dog poop, you get a sty in your eye. How do you describe a sty? I don't even know what.
It's like a little bump on your eyelid. On the
that
inside?
Hurts.
Yeah,
that
it's
hurts.
Red
okay,
and it
so
hurts.
You get that just because you're looking at a dog, and then so we had a woman call in for what it do, and we said that can't possibly be true, right?
It is true, and the only way to get rid of it is you get a cat's tail and you put it over the eye the perrilla is on, and then it goes away.
So that's what she says. You get a cat's tail, you put it over the eye, gone.
That's a pretty easy one to prove or disprove, isn't it?
Well, you would think. I don't know how stuff like that like lingers. I guess if you're taught that as a kid, you never really question it. Maybe.
Right, but once you get to be, oh, I don't know, 8, and you realize I've watched a dog poop and I don't have a stiomy, doesn't it just go away? How does it perpetuate from generation to generation when it clearly is not and has never been true?
Because you never watch. Because you would never take the chance.
You would never look. Right, yeah. You don't want to take the chance. We have Angel on the phone. A K-Rock listener, Angel, sent us an email. Good morning, Angel.
Good morning.
So you you married into a Mexican family.
Yeah.
And this
I'm Mexican too, but okay. I'm not that way.
So you haven't heard, did you hear that one, that particular superstition?
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Okay, what are the other ones that you have seen firsthand?
Okay, one of them is if you crave something, you know, strawberries or peach, whatever, you have to eat it or you'll get a canker sore on your tongue.
If you crave something, you have to eat it.
Well, that explains overweight.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, what else?
The one I wrote you guys about was if there's a full moon, a lunar eclipse.
Yeah, tell us about the lunar eclipse because this one looks even more weird.
Yeah, that's what I said. If there's a lunar eclipse and a woman is pregnant, she has to pin a baby pin or a safety pin over the belly and not be exposed to it, or the baby will have a hair lip.
So she can't go outside during the lunar eclipse?
Nope. Got to lock her away in the closet.
Really? What if she has to go somewhere?
Don't ask me.
How about an umbrella?
I don't think that qualifies.
Doesn't do
know.
It. Hairlip baby.
Yeah. So is the explanation in the Mexican community for every baby that's born with a hairlip, which, by the way, incredibly rare that happens, but when it does, it's just assumed, well, that woman must have stepped outside during a lunar eclipse at some point?
Yes.
They don't happen that often.
I wonder how these continue because like we've said before, it seems like somebody would look at a dog pooping and go, fine, okay, not true.
I don't know. It's kind of like not walking under a ladder. Do you walk under ladders?
All the time. Doesn't bother me.
You know what people won't.
You know what my wife's superstition is don't put a hat on the bed. And she's serious. Do not put a hat on the bed. So I start, of course, you know, being the sensitive guy I am, throwing hats on the bed. Because nothing's going to happen. There's no God that says, you put a hat on the bed, you die. I mean, that just doesn't work that way.
There's another one about not putting your purse on the floor.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, just is you know, for safety's sake, it's just common sense to not have it stolen or, you know, make sure you keep an eye on it at all times. It makes sense not to put it on the floor.
But in your own house?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
But the Mexican community does seem like they buy these hook, line, and sinker. And I'm not exactly sure why. I guess, I don't know. What about chupacabras? Do you believe in chupacabras? Angel?
No, I don't believe in chupacabras.
Does your wife's family?
They might. Yeah. They probably do.
So many great ones to talk to. Where do you want to start? Well, I mean, how do you begin on a topic like this?
Here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to move along quickly because there are so many different ones. We're not going to have a lot of time for follow-up questions.
Okay.
So we're going to go to Ronald in East L.A. first. Ronald, what's the superstition that you are aware of?
Okay, check it out. My mother-in-law, she's 65, and she told us, me and my wife, that if she had constant heartburn while she was pregnant, that the baby was going to be extremely hairy. So, yeah, when the baby was born, he had a pretty good afro. He looked like Notorious B.I.G.'s kid. I'll cover that album, you know, so it was pretty true. And eventually, a little bit of it fell off, but he was pretty puffy when he came out.
All right, so that one's true. Okay, thank you, Ronald.
Lisa, isn't heartburn a fairly frequent side effect for a pregnant woman?
I was going to say, I think all pregnant women have heartburn towards the end. Thought. Yeah,
Rosa and Pomona.
Yes, hello.
Hello, what's yours?
Mine is, my mother-in-law told me that if I scratched my belly while I was pregnant, depending if the baby was around there, he would have like a birthmark.
Oh, that's where birthmarks come from? Because you physically put it on him?
Uh-huh. So in case you were ever wondering, now you know.
Okay.
Okay, good to know.
Thank you, Rosa. Let's go to Jenny, who's calling from Whittier. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi. Good morning, Karen Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hi, Jenny.
Your superstition involves flour.
My mother always said that if you warm a tortilla on the range and it expands, that you're going to get married.
If you warm a tortilla,
like a big
and
bubble
the hot air
thing?
Gets caught and it rises, separates, right. and like balloons up,
you'll right. get married.
You're going to get married.
But how do you prove or disprove that when the vast majority of girls do end up getting married? I mean, is that mostly a universal?
Bean.
Does it mean you're going to get married that week?
I'm saying if you have to ask, you just don't know.
So I guess, just got to pop that bubble not. Right away.
Alfred in Covina. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Lisa May.
Hi, Alfred.
There's something called ojo, which is literally translated as the eye. Babies have to wear red. They have to be dressed in the red outfit or put a red ribbon on or something like that.
Why?
Because if you take them out in public and somebody who has, I guess, I don't know how you say it, strong vision, like they'll jinx the baby or something, they'll make the baby sick if they're looking at it. So the red wards off that evil, I guess.
Is that the evil eye?
The evil eye, there you go. That's kind of the same thing. But,
so if you ever take your baby out and the baby is not wearing red, then the baby is susceptible to the evil eye.
The evil eye, there you go.
Isn't that like Kabbalah? Isn't that where they get that from? Is
the
whole
red string?
The red string to protect against
yeah.
the evil
I think
eye?
You're right.
I'm not saying my people have a lot of kids, but have you noticed how many of these superstitions revolve around pregnancy and little babies?
That's a good point.
All right, let's go to Darren, who's calling from Oceanside. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Darren.
My mother-in-law, when my daughter was born, you know how they have the soft spot on the top of the head?
Right.
If the soft spot would start to sink down, supposedly it would give the baby diarrhea. So she used to get warm water and put it in her mouth and suck on the top of the baby's head and then turn the baby upside down. And supposedly this would pull the soft spot up and get rid of the diarrhea. So one time she was doing that and I made fun of her and I did an Indian dance around the table. She didn't like that.
No, I'll bet she didn't.
Oh, Darren.
Thank you, Darren. You know what else is common with all these calls is it's all my parents, my in-laws, my parents, my in-laws.
But this is what I asked before. How do these superstitions continue to get passed down from this generation that sees how crazy they are? Why are they going to show up on the next generation? But they will.
Raquel in Norwalk, good morning.
Good morning. Buenos dias, guys.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Which one do you know?
Okay, so this is the one that my mom told me. If, when we're sweeping the kitchen, and if the broom hits our feet, we will not get married. So in order to reverse it, you need to knock on the wood of the broom. Wait a minute.
So if the sweeping broom, if it hits your foot, you're not going to get married. But then you can knock on the wood of the handle and you'll be fine.
And you'll be fine. Which would probably not explain why my sisters after the age of 30 are still not married. But they keep knocking on that wood. But
It's not working.
It's not working.
Maybe they're not knocking correctly.
They
Thank
missed
you, Raquel.
One of them.
Wow, these are amazing.
Yeah.
Did somebody order Mexican?
K-Rock. It is Breakfast with Linkin Park on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Thank you again, guys, for getting up so early. Chester, you have your second clothing line coming out? Is that right?
Yeah, actually. I have a partner, a good friend of mine, I used to be in a band called Grey Days with. We own a chain of tattoo studios called Club Tattoo. And we carry the Club Tattoo clothing in our stores, and we're hoping to get those out to other people because there's a lot of people who want that stuff.
Right.
But we want to kind of elevate it a little bit, and we wanted to come up with a premium line. So we created this line called V-Cell, and we'll be launching it in Vegas in August at Project. Hopefully it does really well. I'm pretty stoked about the designs. I know I've showed the guys some stuff, and
I thought it was the best stuff I've ever seen. Like that, you know, Chester's been involved with a few different things, and it's probably my favorite stuff that he's done. So,
is it true that you spend more time getting dressed than your wife?
Yes.
You have the biggest closet.
Right.
Takes you an hour to get ready to go out.
Yeah.
You have to have your belts match your shoes, and I heard that you had to have your socks match your underwear.
But there's also a part of that that is the OCD.
Yeah.
OCD part of Chester's brain.
Oh, it's OCD.
You should see his hotel room when you go on tour. It's the funniest thing.
Why? What?
Well, everything has to be in a certain place. and also, like, this morning, because I'm wearing boots, you know, I usually don't wear white socks because that's, you know, they're white
socks. That's
and, but, you know, like, I'm wearing boots, so, like, you know, I forced myself to put white socks on. You guys are sporting the amazing white socks. but, you know, it's kind of funny, but when I go out on the road, I actually forced myself in this last tour to kind of get a little messy a little bit and throw some stuff around. So I intentionally threw some stuff around to kind of like break up the break up my whole thing. But I actually repack all my luggage every time I leave the room.
Every time you leave the room?
Yeah, because
it's not just when he packs I like up to know leave the hotel. It's actually when he's leaving the room.
Like he could be going out to lunch.
Dinner. I like to know where everything is. You know, so like if I want to wear a specific shirt, I don't go digging through my stuff. I just go, oh, it's the third shirt down, second row. And then I can repack all my stuff the same way every time.
Wow.
And it's just, I don't know. I'm a freak, I guess.
Do you have to, like, open the door in certain ways and all that stuff? Wash your hands three times?
Drive slow on Sundays?
You know, I'm not that bad. But there are certain things that, like, I have to do the same way. And my wife does make fun of me because when I get dressed to go anywhere, she calls it a fashion show because I'm, like, constantly, like, walking out of my closet looking at...
How about
and I look
this?
At something and then, like, I'm like, it's just not working. And I take it off and then I go start all over. It's just, like, it's crazy.
So in the history of Linkin Park, when the book is written, it'll be July 20th, 2007, we found out that Chester went bye-bye, basically. That's what we learned here this morning. He's gone.
It's no secret that, especially within the band, that I'm probably the most eccentric out of everybody here.
Said the man with the mohawk. All right. We have a couple of more songs left from the band Linkin Park here ahead of their Project Revolution tour. Tickets are on sale now for the show coming up at the Hyundai. What's the next number we're going to do here, guys?
An oldie but a goodie.
And by we, do you mean...
I may see
you mean them.
On the marimba.
No.
Nice.
Linkin Park. Breakfast with Linkin Park is on K-Rock.
You guys can sing along on this one if you'd like.
It starts with
one thing. I don't know why. Doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to explain it to time. All I know, time is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. Watch it count down to the end of the day. The clock ticks life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch the time go right out the window. Trying to hold on and didn't even know I wasted it all just to watch you go. I kept everything inside and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to me will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried so hard. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had too far to lose it all. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. One thing, I don't know why. Doesn't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to remind myself how I tried so hard. In spite of the way you were mocking me, acting like I was part of your property. Remembering all the times you fought with me, I'm surprised that it got so. Things aren't the way they were before. You wouldn't even recognize me anymore. Not that you knew me back then, but it all comes back to me in the end. You kept everything inside, and even though I tried, it all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory of a time when I tried so hard and got so far. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. I had too far to lose it all. But in the end, it doesn't even matter. Put my trust in you. Pushed as far.
Linkin Park. Breakfast on K-Rock. We'll be back with one more song right after this.
And depending on how the Philadelphia Eagles did this weekend, you're about to hear from a very happy or a very sad man with the Showbiz Report. Here's Ralph.
Why are you an idiot, Bean? Can't you look at a freaking schedule? Can't you look at what's coming up this weekend in football and take a look at the schedule and see that the Eagles are playing tonight on Monday Night Football? Doesn't he know that much?
No!
Of course, the America's team, Philadelphia Eagles, playing the Washington Redskins tonight. So, 5:30 kickoff, in case you were wondering. I will be well drunk by 5:30, I'm guessing. Because, you know, it's the nice thing about this job. The hard part is you have to get up early in the morning. But the nice part is you can start drinking at like 10.
Yeah.
Which is spectacular. Sometimes earlier, depending on the show.
If you start early enough, the hangover will wear off by the time you get to the show.
Exactly. Psycho Mike, you've crystallized my thoughts perfectly. It is 6:55 in the a.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation. I just got back from it, and I am tanned, rested, and ready to take on all the showbiz news, including the top 10 movies at the box office this week, according to Daily Variety newspaper. Here are your top 10 films. A lot of people want to see The Brave One, about an angry lesbian with a handgun killing minorities.
I want a good movie.
Well, I didn't get a chance to see this one, so I don't know whether it's good or not, Kevin. But Jodie Foster stars in The Brave One, and its debut made $14 million. A lot of people went. 3:10 to Yuma was number two at the box office. Number one last week made an additional $9.2 million. Russell Crowe and Christian Bale starring in that Western.
Yeah.
Mr. Woodcock, in its debut, made $9 million. That'll never get tired for you, will it, Mike?
Nope.
Of course, that Billy Bob Thornton comedy, along with that dude from American Pie. Dragon Wars was number four. Dragon Wars. How could a movie be number four at the box office, and I didn't even know it existed?
None of us at the station knew it existed. It's
Dragon Wars. It's about dragons, I guess. Fighting wars.
Okay.
Who could have thunk? Superbad was number five at the box office. Halloween, number six. The Bourne Ultimatum, number seven. Balls of Fury, number eight. Rush Hour 3, number nine. And Mr. Bean's Holiday, which is appropriate for this week. Well, Bean's on vacation, number 10 at the box office. See what I did there? Last night was the Emmys on Fox. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of it because I was flipping over occasionally in between breaks of the football game. I was watching the Patriots versus the Chargers last night. Boy, this Patriots look just freaking awesome.
They're robotic.
They just look unnatural.
Machines of death. I saw something in last night's game, Patriots and Chargers, that I never saw before. A call that I thought I'd never see, and it was really weird. Did you see this? They originally called defensive holding, I believe. Or excuse me, maybe offensive holding. They threw a flag.
Right.
And they reviewed the play, and the referee came back and said, sorry, no penalty, our fault. The player was simply overpowered.
Yeah, I heard that too.
It was a weird. Sorry, he just got worked so badly.
It's bad enough you don't get the call if you're the guy that was held.
Right. Can't you make something up?
But then they just tell the world that you just got crushed by that dude.
You were worked so bad, we thought there was a penalty. Turns out, no.
He stopped you so much, we figured he had to be holding you, but no, he was just manhandling you, you woman.
Yeah.
That's what they should have said.
Poor guy.
Yeah, but the Patriots just look like a force of nature, I'll tell you. Scary stuff. Of course, when you're a big cheater, I guess it helps.
Cheating cheaters that cheat.
And they cheat all the time, and you're a cheater. Anyway, the Emmys were on Fox up against football last night, and it looks like Fox did the smart thing and really didn't use Ryan Seacrest much at all as a host.
Right.
He kind of came on, introduced the thing, and then pretty much it was on autopilot from that point out. A few moments where Fox dumped out. I guess they were a little nervous because it was a live show. The censors bleeped Ray Romano talking about the fact that his TV wife,
Patricia Heaton,
has that new show with Kelsey Grammer on Fox, and he said that they were, how could you F somebody else, basically, is what he said. Meaning that, you know, they were married on TV for so long. He said, come on, we have TV children. That's what he said. And then Sally Field, in an odd moment, during her acceptance speech for winning Best Actress in a Drama, mentioned that if mothers ran the world, there'd be no goddamn war. And Fox just cut away from her at the end of her speech, didn't let her say any of that. Very odd.
Yeah.
I know it was the goddamn part, or it was the anti-war part, but they didn't like it.
Who knew? She was so political.
Here's your short list of Emmy winners. Best Comedy Series was 30 Rock.
I'm sorry?
That tells you all you need to know about the Emmys last night. Best Drama Series was The Sopranos. Sopranos got a lot of love last night as they said goodbye to television. Best Actor in a Comedy, Ricky Gervais for Extras. Best Actress in a Comedy, America Ferrara for Ugly Betty. Best Actress in a Drama, Sally Field, as I mentioned. Best Actor in a Drama, James Spader from Boston Legal over James Gandolfini and Hugh Laurie,
yeah.
Which is unacceptable to me because you know I love me some Hugh Laurie. Best Reality Series, our pal Kathy Griffin cashed in. My Life on the D-List won, and Best Reality Competition Series, The Amazing Race won, as it does every year, picked up the Emmy. Here's the thing about O.J. Simpson. He's nuts.
Yes, he is.
I don't know if you're following the news over the weekend, but O.J. arrested by the Las Vegas Police Department Sunday morning.
And he didn't kill anybody.
No. He's moved on to other crimes now. He's gone from murder now to armed robbery. He will face at least three charges, including robbery with a deadly weapon, conspiracy to commit robbery, and burglary with a firearm. There may be as many as six people arrested in the case. Here's what happened. He was in Vegas, apparently. And there was a dude named Alfred Beardsley of Glendale, California.
Glendale!
And he was selling some sports memorabilia, which, as you know, is a huge business. And apparently he had some autographed O.J. stuff there. And O.J. seemed to believe, either properly or not, that some of that stuff was stolen from him, including his NFL Hall of Fame certificate and a picture of him posing with former FBI head J. Edgar Hoover.
Really?
Yes. So Juice and some boys go into this guy's room at the Palace Station, which, as you know, is just one of the higher-end places in Vegas.
Right.
Palace
it goes Station. Wynn, Palace Station,
yeah, I think
Bellagio, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. He goes into the room, and they've got guns. And he goes off on the guy and steals, according to, again, the police records, a bunch of O.J. autograph stuff, including some O.J. autograph photos, and some lithographs of Joe Montana. Not quite sure why he wanted to steal those, but maybe he's a big fan. Anyway, here's the best part. One of the dudes involved in the deal had one of those little mini tape recorders, one of those digital tape recorders that you stick in your pocket. It looks like a memo, like a digital memo recorder.
Yeah.
And turns it on when O.J. and his thug buddies are going into this room. And TMZ.com this morning, which is just the greatest website ever, because I don't know how they get this stuff. They've already got his mugshot up, but they've also got up the audio.
How do they already have this audio?
They have the audio of, this is not Psycho Mike in the other room doing some funny character voices. This isn't me doctoring something up for your entertainment pleasure. This is actual audio of O.J. Simpson and his armed buddies busted in this guy's room, threatening him, roughing him up, and stealing some stuff. I swear to God, actual audio from the actual crime. Listen carefully as O.J. goes off on the guy who's selling the sports memorabilia.
Now you can steal my shit, you sell it. Don't let nobody out of here. You motherfucker. I'm just going to walk. I'm just going to look at this shit. Get over there. Walk over there. I just had to get my ass alone. Walk your ass. You can steal my shit. I took it.
Yeah, basically all you can hear is him saying, you mother effer, you think you can steal my crap and sell it over and over again.
Right.
As apparently people are being threatened with guns. So O.J. arrested Sunday morning. You know, sometimes the world works just right. Sometimes it takes a while, but things come around and people get their comeuppance. And this time, he might actually do some jail time, which would be spectacular. Because it seems like they got a pretty good case. If you got eyewitnesses and you got the dude on tape,
yeah,
threatening people with a gun, I don't know. Seems like they got a pretty solid case. I'm looking forward to it. Here's today's celebrity birthdays. Kyle Chandler, lead in Friday Night Lights, very popular TV show amongst some of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Lisa, you need to watch that show.
Lisa, tell me when they need to watch Friday Night Lights.
42 years old today. Dougie Fresh is 41. Baz Luhrmann, director of Moulin Rouge. And I promised you the sunscreen song, but we don't have time for it. I'll get back to about an hour. I'll play you some sunscreen because Psycho Mike has never heard it. I can't believe he missed out on the sunscreen phenomenon. He is 45 years old today. And Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah.
Cassandra Peterson, former K-Rock DJ. She turns 56 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I think you're all going to miss the president and the vice president when they're gone. I think people don't realize how good they have it until we get someone else in the White House.
Well, there certainly won't be another vice president as entertaining as this one. Give me a little bit of the Vice President's theme again. I love that song. Would you mind?
Absolutely.
Mr. Cheney's been in the news, of course, a lot this week.
Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick, 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 Dick Cheney, Dick.
There you go.
Here's the story from Bagram, Afghanistan. A suicide bomber attacked the entrance to the main U.S. military base in Afghanistan on Tuesday during a visit by Vice President Dick Cheney, killing up to 23 people and wounding 20. Cheney was unhurt in the attack, and we have him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Mr. Vice President.
So?
No, I was just saying good morning, just saying hello to you, sir. How are you? You rattled a little bit by the suicide bomber?
I find that question out of line.
Well, I mean, it did just happen. There was a suicide bomber while you were in Afghanistan.
So?
Right. We were just wanting to know how you felt, if it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I mean, I know, of course, it's
no,
dangerous. You,
no,
you recognize that?
Of course not.
No?
That didn't bother me at all. No, I can't be killed.
What do you mean you can't be killed?
I can't be killed. What did I just say?
Well, you
are
said,
you not listening?
You said something that doesn't make sense. As human beings, we can all be killed.
I cannot.
You can't.
No.
Are you telling us you're not?
Well, except for holy water or a stake through my heart.
Okay.
The only two things that can actually hurt me.
I got you.
Maybe a silver bullet.
So not a suicide bomber. It has to be a silver bullet.
That's right. It has to be a little bit more than their lame attempts to question authority.
All right. Yeah, that's what they said it was for, yeah.
It did kill 23 people and wound 20, so they obviously got fairly close to, you know, to where people were on the base. How far away were you from the explosion, sir?
I was inside the base, and the bomb apparently went off at the gate.
The gate of the...
So right. I was quite a distance away, so they failed to question authority.
I read that you did, you were taken to a bomb shelter for a brief segment of time.
Yes, whenever I... whenever I'm in danger, I like to go underground, preferably inside a coffin, where I rest, garner my energies, and then once again stalk the night.
Okay. All right. I noticed, Mr. Vice President, we rarely see you outside during the day, and now it's starting to make sense to me.
You've never seen me look in a mirror either.
No. Interesting.
Nor eat garlic.
Well, we've never really had the opportunity to see any of that.
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
No, no, you're not.
All right.
So so everything's fine. You're good. And how are things going in Afghanistan? Do you feel like you accomplished something?
Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. We are on track in Afghanistan.
But the Taliban, by all accounts, sir, has been regrouping in Afghanistan and in Pakistan and is approaching the level of potency that it was before 9/11.
Well, I'm going to take care of that situation. I've invited some of the head members of the Taliban, and we're going to go hunting.
Oh.
you know what I mean? A whole friendly hunting trip.
I see.
For
I
me
see.
And some of the Taliban.
You shoot them in the head.
Hey, there's a bird. There's another one. Oh, look at your face.
A little bit of a mishap.
Boo hoo hoo. Boo hoo hoo.
Mr. Cheney, if you don't mind me asking, is it a coincidence that you're out of the country this week as the deliberation is going on in the trial of your former aide, Scooter Libby? Because it just seems like, I don't know, you're kind of unavailable for comment because that's coming down this week.
I find that question out of line.
Well, it's just
the
timing.
Why don't you ask me about my lesbo daughter? I'd rather talk about that.
Tell us about your lesbo daughter.
She's manly. She's mannish.
That's weird because you usually don't like to talk
She's
about her.
Not a feminine lady.
Well, she does seem to be playing the boy
not,
in that relationship.
Does not possess the feminine wiles. She has to shave.
So she doesn't look female-ish.
She is a manster.
Okay. Not womanly at all, is
she
what you're saying.
Would be the one to wear the strap on.
Oh,
Mr. Vice President.
Wow, usually you don't talk about her at all.
This is better than talking about Scooter Libby.
I guess.
Well, I got to go hunting with Scooter.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
And I must think of some way to keep Christmas from coming somehow.
Bean, who never has a soul over to his house. Never, ever, ever, never.
Except for when I invited Dave, the King of Mexico, to come up because, frankly, I needed some yard work done.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is in the studio with us.
Yo.
Bean is a guy who moved away from Los Angeles, lives in the Seattle area, does not like visitors, does not like people, does not like going out, does not like anything public.
No fun.
But he loves himself some baseball, and Dave, the King of Mexico, loves himself some baseball. Dave, for some reason, picked the White Sox. I can't figure out why.
Second favorite team.
But second favorite team beside the Dodgers.
Yes.
And so they were playing in Seattle, so Dave, the King of Mexico, went up to Bean's house this weekend. And I was looking for the text all weekend that said, Kevin, I'm having a bad time.
Never happened, my friend.
Or, Kevin, I just wrecked Donna.
Okay. Now, let me butt in and say this before we talk about the weekend. I understand Dave did not send you the Kevin, I wrecked Bean's wife, Donna text, right? I think that may have happened anyway, though, because
yes,
Sunday morning, there were some knowing glances between the two. And all I'm telling you, without getting into too much detail here, Kevin, is that at one point I heard Donna say, yeah, that's why they call him the Thing of Mexico. You know what I mean? So I think there was something going on there.
It was awkward.
It sounded a little awkward, yeah.
Now, let me see if I can start at the beginning of the pictures that you guys put up at krock.com. The
picture okay.
The first picture is Bean carrying a suitcase, Dave carrying a white bag, and it says, Bean picked me up from the airport but forgot where he parked his car. That took care of the first 2 hours of my visit.
Oh, Dave.
Oh, dude, literally walking around the parking lot. And it's not a big parking lot either. It's not like LAX where, you know, it's huge.
Right.
Nope, little. There's only four rows, and Bean couldn't find his car.
Can't you just do the thing where you do the lock on your car and it beeps or whatever, and you lights come on, you can go?
That's what I thought. Nope.
You exaggerate. It was not quite 2 hours, but it was maybe not the smoothest start to your visit. I will concede that.
If it was more than 15 minutes, it's a pain in the ass.
Well, you know, it took us to sunset, so.
Let's move on.
All right, the second picture that's up at krock.com. Bean wanted to get the night started, sightseeing started. I'm not sure why this 7-Eleven was a, quote, must-see.
You took him to a 7-Eleven?
That's Bean 7-Eleven.
That's my 7-Eleven. That's the hot spot. That's the focal point of my universe.
It
might be the focal point of your universe, but they have those here, you know?
I wanted to show it off. Yeah. I thought Dave would have a good time.
Yeah, friendly people in there, too, by the way.
That's great. Yeah. Third picture. Okay, I thought it was just a joke, but there really is a clown head on the roof of Bean's gay pink house. It's a giant clown head with a monster mouth.
It's really freaky. That's what greets you.
It's kind of creepy.
It's really creepy.
Because it doesn't have eyes. Just like across for eyes. It's creepy.
It's from a carnival in the 30s, that clown head. But Dave saw it with his own eyes. He's the only person, you know, who works on our show that has.
Now, Bean, if you want to interrupt here, or Dave, you want to interrupt here, I'm going through the pictures, but if you have stuff to add in the meantime, that's fine. Let us know how it went. The next picture is Dave holding his hand on top of a, what is that, Bean?
It's a lawn jockey.
Why is there a black midget living in the yard?
It's a lawn jockey.
Best part of the weekend, man. Highlight of my day.
Why was there a black lawn jockey in your yard, Bean? What do you do with that exactly?
It's just decoration in the yard. They were very, very popular, you know, back before they became considered politically incorrect. But I bought one, I bought it years ago, and I bought one at the same time. I bought the same lawn jockey for our friend Jimmy Kimmel. I sent it to him for Christmas one year. And then I talked to him afterwards. I'm like, Jims, what do you think of the lawn jockey? I said, he's like, well, I have to keep it in the garage. I can't put it out in the front lawn at my house because I don't live on Clan Island like you do. But Dave was enamored of the lawn jockey.
Yeah, now, I wanted to steal it. So.
Friday night, Bean wanted to watch High School Musical, which is really creepy. And Dave was claiming before he left on Friday that he was not going to watch it.
I thought it was fantastic good fortune that there was an event like High School Musical 2 on the Disney Channel debuting Friday night while Dave was going to be here anyway, because it gave us something really to look forward to kind of, you know, kick off the weekend in high gear.
But here's what I'm telling you, Dave, not looking forward to that. He told me 3 or 4 different times, I'm going to be doing something else while High School Musical is on.
He was just joshing.
Out of the 17.2 million people who watched it,
yeah,
you know the two people who didn't watch it?
You?
Who?
Me and Bean.
Yeah! What?
You made him skip it?
Well, no. We watched the White Sox game and the Seattle game because it was good.
Friday night.
Yeah.
On TV. And,
yes.
Okay.
And then we started watching High School Musical.
And it blew.
No.
Well, first of all, it was awesome. Let's not get the wrong impression.
Well, it was awesome for 20 minutes, right, Bean? And then Bean went to bed.
What?
It was awesome, dude.
What?
What do you mean you went to bed? You've got guests.
I have been looking forward to High School Musical 2 for a year and a half.
And we've been hearing about it for a year and a half.
Right.
Yes.
But then the game was so close that we couldn't turn it off. So we ended up staying up till the end of the game, which was 10. So we didn't even start High School Musical 2 until 10, okay? And I'm exhausted. I'm a working man. And at 10:20, I said, look, I love you and all that, and I'm excited about this, but I just can't stay up. I got to go to bed. So I went and put on my PJs and went to bed.
With guests in the house.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Dave was looking for quality time with Don at that point anyway,
fine,
so that was fine.
Did you see this part of High School Musical too? Okay, you know what was happening then? Did you see this part?
Nope.
There was a dude on the pitcher's mound who was a dancer. And then the batter was saying that he doesn't dance. And the dude in the pitcher's mound was saying it's the same as baseball. So the pitcher was dancing while throwing the ball. And then the batter was singing and dancing while hitting it and running the bases and doing cartwheels. It was the gayest, the absolute gayest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wouldn't know. Didn't see it.
Oh, you're so
Dave
lucky.
Was so yes. happy.
I have kids. They watched it probably four times this weekend, and it was all I could do to not burst out laughing. But I don't want to like ruin my kids'
right,
time.
Right.
So I just kept it to myself, but I was like, "That there's nothing gayer on this planet than trying to convince people that dancing and playing baseball is the same.
As you'll see from the photos in the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com, we did start watching High School Musical, and you can see the look on Dave's face that he's not having the best time ever. So I think it probably worked out better for both of us that now I can watch it, you know, privately, if you get my meaning.
I don't see the picture of him watching High School Musical, too.
It's on page two.
Oh, page
yeah,
two.
There's three pages of photos up there. Yeah,
Inside the house, it got weirder. Here's some art of a duck getting torn apart by killer ducklings.
That is the creepiest picture.
No, it's not the creepiest, but it's one of the creepiest.
Oh, there's much more.
The duck is all bloody.
Why do you want that picture anywhere?
Dave's face.
Look at Dave's face on the next picture. By KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page. The House of Horrors continues. This one's by serial killer John Wayne Gacy.
That was a weird painting, man.
Yeah, it's a clown.
It's Pogo the Clown. That's what, how he used to
Stop
dress up.
Stop saying that like we all know who that is.
No, I'm telling you, it's Pogo the Clown. That was what John Wayne Gacy used to dress up in a clown suit to lure the young boys to his home before he killed them and buried them in the crawl space under his house.
Okay, so how creepy is that? That's like maybe the creepiest thing ever.
Seriously.
I couldn't look at it. I had to keep it face forward because it was just creepy. Ugh. It's too creepy for me, and I hate clowns.
All right, that's creepy.
Isn't your wife afraid of clowns?
She yes. does not like them. No.
Here's Dave pointing to a picture. You've got to be kidding me. This drawing shows a rat getting off the boat and bringing the plague to Norway in the 1340s. Nothing says welcome like a picture of the bubonic plague in your room.
This is in your room.
Yeah. Because, you know, Bean is obsessed with death, with human death. He loves it. Anything about it.
God.
And then here's Dave pointing to a black, well, of course it's black. It's O.J. Simpson. A naked O.J. Simpson painting.
You don't want to take a shower with that, dude.
It's in the bathroom?
Yeah. In the bathroom, a naked OJ.
You're trying to take a shower and OJ's looking at you and he's naked, telling off.
Oh, my God.
But nothing could prepare me for actually having to watch High School Musical 2 Friday night. What the F? I kept expecting Chris Hansen from Dateline NBC to raid the place.
Oh, Dave. How are you coming to me like that?
I mean, the only thing that made the 20 minutes enjoyable was Bean, because he's like pop-up video. Anytime a song would come out, Bean had a fact. Anytime Zach came out, Bean had a fact.
Okay,
anytime anything came out, Bean had a fact for everything.
This is my next question. Bean always talks about how he likes High School Musical. There is a boy lead and a girl lead. The boy's name is Zach.
Zach Efron.
Right.
He is clearly, allegedly, completely, unabashedly gay.
Not even a little bit. He is incredibly studly.
Now, the other star, I don't know how old she is, so I need to be careful here, but if she's 18, super hot Hispanic chick.
Mm-hmm.
She's really awesome, yeah.
Really cute girl.
Yeah.
Vanessa Hutchins, yeah, she's awesome.
Bean hasn't said one word about her.
You're right.
She's a super hot girl.
That's true.
I don't want to disrespect my Zach by talking about his girlfriend.
Finally bedtime and they made me sleep out in the barn. That's a picture.
Dave curled up in a stall in the barn.
Not alone, that's him with the pigs. Do you guys know cows are real? I thought they made them up for those cheese commercials. That's Dave with a cow. Here's Saturday morning, first stop, dead rock star statue. What is that, Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix.
That's Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Born and raised
stop,
in Seattle. Yeah.
Dead kung fu guy and dead crow guy, Bruce Lee.
That's David Brandon. Bruce and Brandon Lee's gravesites, yeah. We had a theme going on for the weekend. I don't know if you guys can tell, but just
yeah,
dead
death.
Stuff. Yeah,
that's
stuff
always mostly. Your theme. And then you're sitting next to a gravestone that is McAssie. McAssie is the name. Even funny beyond the grave,
Isn't
he says.
Isn't that funny?
Yes, it is funny.
Okay, now in downtown Seattle, there's a giant rock, and 25 feet away from it, a statue of the same rock.
That's what Seattle considers art.
Huh. I don't have time to go through all these pictures. These are absurd. What a horrible time.
We saw some cool stuff, though.
David,
we really
did. You had a horrible time.
I can, dude. It was fun.
What is this with you making the play of the night? What's that?
Oh, you know, I jumped on the field and caught the ball during a home run.
Yeah, the photo before that shows him going at to the Mariners game at Safeco Field. And then the next photo after that is him catching a big ball. Yeah.
While drinking a beer.
At some point, we ended up at a chainsaw artist's house. Bean couldn't leave without buying a chainsaw-carved wooden pig.
More facts on chainsaw art. That was good.
On the airport, the way to the airport, we stopped at Snoqualmie Falls.
Snoqualmie Falls, right?
Bean thought we shared a moment overlooking the water. I was just afraid he was going to touch my ass again.
Well, Dave, come on.
Why do you have your arm around him with your head on his shoulder?
How to pay for the weekend somehow, man.
Jeez.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Oh. Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
Going to come at my girl like that, Kevin? Come on.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Okay. Yesterday, we had Kathy Griffin in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Tyra Banks and how she's a big fat whore. And we were telling the story about how Bean defends her at every turn. But he's really
I love her. You know I love her.
But you used to love her is what you mean to say. Because you forwarded me, I think, where did you find this? Was this from the listener or did you find it yourself?
A listener sent in. Apparently, there's some stuff. You all have watched the Tyra Banks talk show from time to time, and you know how they scrape the bottom of the barrel on some episodes. Well, apparently, they think there's so much great material on the Tyra Banks show that they can't put it all on TV. So some of it spills over onto the Tyra Show website, and that, I think, is what a listener tipped us off to here.
Yeah, this clip was Tyra Banks, and I'm just going to play it for you, and I'm going to let you make up your own minds about Tyra Banks and her whoreness.
Okay.
This is from her website.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to TyraShow.com. Okay, when Heather Mills was here, I talked about this little bathroom thing that I thought might have been too gross for on air, even though I know I'm gross a lot.
Okay, now I don't know why she's talking about this with Heather Mills.
No.
But she was.
Yeah, I can't imagine how that would come up. I mean, having a fake leg should not impact a woman's ability to go to the bathroom, right?
Nope.
But this was too gross for her show.
But So let me explain to you. When you go to the bathroom, I know a lot of us don't really want to, like, sit on the toilet in public, so we squat, all right? So you pull your panties down.
Okay, now,
she's explaining how to squat?
Yes. And she's showing you. I mean, she's not pulling her panties down, but she's, like, squatting and going through all the motions so that you, Lisa, as a girl, know how to pee.
Oh my God.
The kind of help you just can't get anywhere. But Tyra cares.
Right? And then, like, you squat and you squat. But, like, imagine this is, like, the toilet seat. Your panty is, like, touching the toilet seat. All right? So what I have learned to do is, like, you got to pull your panties forward and then pee.
Okay, so now she's told you how to do it. Now she goes through and mimics it again.
Because you think, oh, I'm not touching anything. Girl, your panties are rubbing all over that toilet seat. And I just told my mom this, and she's like, oh, my God, all these years that I have been squatting, thinking I'm being super clean, and my panties is rubbing all on that toilet.
Okay, so she says, Mom, tell me how you pee.
No,
and her mom
says,
here's how I do it. And she says, well, you're doing it the wrong way. Let me show you the right way.
How does that conversation ever come up with
it
your
doesn't.
Mom?
It didn't. I mean, it didn't. She never told her mom this.
So, Lisa, girls squat so they don't sit on the seat. That's what she's talking about?
Yes. Some girls do, although I have a problem with that because those same girls often end up peeing on the toilet seat.
Right, but they don't care because they're not sitting on it.
They don't care. They just walk away and leave it for the next girl.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Equally as disgusting, I think, as Tyra is and the fact that she would take time to do this.
Yeah.
Is these mindless sheep in the background
laughing?
Oh, Tyra, that's so funny. That's so what nimwit automatons are you to sit in a crowd and just sit there and laugh at her and
call that entertainment?
Thank you for such a satisfying hour. Oh, your panties are touching the toilet. You're so right.
That's crazy.
So squat, pull forward, pee. Got it. Squat, pull forward, pee. See you later.
And then they clap.
See you later.
Wow.
She told everybody how to pee. Good work.
She's awesome. Whoa.
Nobel Prize.
She's my friend.
You big foreheaded whore.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore. Big fat, big fat, big fat, whore, whore, whore. Big fat, big fat, big fat, whore, whore, whore.
Ralph Garman, what the f*** are you looking at?
Just when you think they can't get any worse than they are live, they go and tape stuff. That's how you know you're working with professionals, people.
Knowing Kevin and Bean, you know they did that one. They're like, yeah.
Oh, woo! That'll get him,
got
man.
Him.
That's,
got him.
That's edgy. We really walked the line. It is 7:55 in the a.m. here on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean. And by best, I mean some stuff we threw together.
A lot of Ralph. Yeah. By best of Kevin and Bean, a lot of Ralph.
Boys are on vacation this week. However, I am here all week long bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. Let's start off by looking at the weekend's top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? We do this every Monday morning to let you know who's going to see what. The Brave One was the number one movie at the box office this weekend. $14 million it made in its debut. A lot of people wanted to see a pissed off Jodie Foster shooting minorities. What can you say?
Yeah.
Apparently it's a pretty good movie, so you might want to check that out. 3:10 to Yuma, the Western remake of the classic film by the same name, made $9.2 million this weekend.
Really just softcore for me is, you know, because you got the Russell Crowe and the Bale on the same screen.
It's you doing the popcorn trick to yourself.
Yep.
Pretty much. Mr. Woodcock was number three at the box office this weekend, made $9 million. Dragon Wars was four. Finally, Dragon Wars getting its debut weekend. Been waiting for this for, oh gosh, I can't tell you. What the hell's Dragon Wars? I haven't even seen commercials for this. I haven't seen an ad. I haven't seen a poster. I haven't seen a billboard.
When you don't know the name of something, you'll often riff and make up a funny name for things. So this morning when you first said Dragon Wars in the top 10, I thought you're like, I don't have my list here. Here's a funny name for a movie.
Nope, it's called Dragon Wars.
Well,
and apparently it's about fire-breathing dragons.
Stretch.
I had no idea, but America did. They went in droves, made number four at the box office this weekend. Superbad was number five. Halloween was number six. The Bourne Ultimatum was number seven. Balls of Fury was number nine. Rush Hour 3 was number nine.
Mm-mm.
I lost count here somehow. Anyway, Mr. Bean's Holiday rounds out your top 10 at the box office. Why are the paparazzi so far away?
Guys,
bring them over here. Guys, could you bring it over?
Bring it in close for the real deal.
It's all right. You can get close now. I'm back. That's much better. Emmys were last night. I was watching the Patriots pound on the Chargers. I didn't expect that to happen at all.
Nope.
When it was 24-0, I was like, what the hell is going on here? But over on Fox, they had Ryan Seacrest hosting, more or less, the Emmy Awards. I just wasn't that interested this year. Apparently, by all accounts, it was a fine show, but nothing of real interest happened. Here's your short list of Emmy winners. 30 Rock was the Best Comedy Series Award winner. Best Drama Series, The Sopranos. As you can imagine, they did a lot of tribute to The Sopranos in its final season. They had the Jersey Boys, cast from the Broadway musical The Jersey Boys, come up on stage and sing Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons songs.
I don't get the connection.
They're all Jersey-based.
Oh, I get it.
These are Jersey-based groups of boys. Then they brought the cast out, and they took a big bow. So, Best Actor in a Comedy Series, Ricky Gervais. From Extras on HBO, well-deserved. Best Actress in a Comedy was America Ferrera in Ugly Betty. Best Actor in a Drama Series, James Spader for Boston Legal. That dramatic juggernaut, Boston Legal. James Spader beat out Hugh Laurie and James Gandolfini.
That's communism.
It's wrong on every level. Actress in a Drama, Sally Field for Brothers and Sisters. A show which we refused to believe existed until last night. Best Reality Series, Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List, won the Emmy for that. And Best Reality Competition Show was The Amazing Race on CBS. Speaking of the Emmys last night, I don't know if you saw Hayden Panettiere.
I didn't.
Oh.
But I'd like to.
She floated out on stage like a little princess. She just looked all just delicious. And then I found out today that she's working on a singing career. She is, her first single, called Your New Girlfriend, has just been leaked onto the internet. Dave and I were listening to it in the other room, and I got to tell you something. She can act. She's smoking hot. She's 18 years old, And apparently she can sing, too, because of all the sort of actress-singer types out there who release music like the Hilary Duffs and those. She's sounds really good. Here's a little taste of her single. It's called Your New Boy, New Girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
You know the night when I gave my heart to you and you swore that you felt the same, too. You said that you would never, ever leave.
Not K-rock music, but not bad,
not
for,
bad at all.
For a little 18-year-old actress singer.
We knew she could sing because she was the lead singer of that band from TV.
Yeah, band from TV. She's been on stage with them a couple times. She's sung live quite a bit, but this is a first foray into her recording her CD. So.
Well, good for her.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Speaking of another actress singer, Lindsay Lohan has a new problem, according to Star Magazine. She's addicted to sex.
Is that a problem?
Well, not for us, but it might be for her. Counselors at Cirque Lodge, where she's currently being treated for drugs and alcohol, say she's trying to substitute one addiction for two others. While her drugs and alcohol have ceased to be a problem, her sex drive has gone through the roof. Sources say she's having erotic dreams of her ex-boyfriends and calls them any chance she gets to talk dirty to them and take care of herself. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm
saying? Yeah. Like
that. A lot of sound like that coming out of her room at the Cirque Lodge. But look, if you got to be addicted to something, you know, at least sex you can manage.
Right.
Get yourself a boyfriend.
And with her Rolodex, I mean, that's a good thing to be addicted to, you know?
But where does she just will jump anything with two legs and a zipper in his pants? You know?
All right. Dave, you hear that?
I don't like her. She's got a tattoo. It's not for me. O.J. Simpson. We don't have time for the O.J. Simpson story here. It's 8 o'clock already here in the world-famous K-Rock Pasadena, Los Angeles, 106.7. But in an hour, I'm going to bring on our pal Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Nice!
And from TMZ TV, because the audio that they have of the actual crime being committed in Vegas, of O.J. bursting into a room and trying to steal back some memorabilia, is amazing. And I want to talk to Harvey about the case. I want to talk to him about how they got that audio. And we're going to recap the whole O.J. Simpson debacle from the weekend with Harvey in an hour. So if you'd like to hear more about that story, stick around. About an hour, we'll be talking to Harvey. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Elvira, Cassandra Peterson, former K-Rock DJ. She's 56 years old today. Kyle Chandler, yes, indeedy. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 42 years old today. Rapper Doug E. Fresh is 41 years old today. And I could not believe this morning when I mentioned director Baz Luhrmann, who directed, of course, Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet and others. I could not believe Psycho Mike was not familiar with the hit song by Baz Luhrmann called Sunscreen. We played it on K-Rock. That's how big it was. That's how big
back,
it was.
Now hearing the clip, I'm familiar with it. I just didn't realize that the whole beginning part is about sunscreen because he goes on to talk about other things in life that you should do.
Baz Luhrmann is 45 advice. Years old today. I just, for those of you who are like Psycho Mike, who never had the pleasure.
Right.
I want to give you a little taste of sunscreen.
If I could offer you only one tip for the future,
what would it be?
Sunscreen would be it.
Oh,
the long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience.
Right. When are you going to do it?
I will dispense this advice.
When?
Now.
Hit it!
Yeah.
Hit it, Steve!
Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they fade.
That was a hit song!
Yeah.
Huge, huge hit. We did like 19 parodies of it here at K-Rock on the morning show when that was popular. We're nothing if not original. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys know who Steven Seagal is, right? The fat actor who used to do martial arts movies?
Mm-hmm.
He was very popular in the 90s. He had a lot of big hits like Out for Justice, Hard to Kill, Marked for Death, the Under Siege movies. I mean, he was a real, real big star for a while. And then he just, I don't know, it seemed like he just vanished, just evaporated. I mean, you never, ever hear from him again.
That's because he might have actually vanished. This guy is a visionary. And I don't know if you've seen or not, but he has a new energy drink.
Really?
Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt.
Wow.
The first of its kind. And we thought we would have Steven on to ask him a few questions just about what's going on with the energy drink. Good morning, Steven.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Well, Steven, I got to be honest. First of all, welcome back to Hollywood. But I have to be honest. We were surprised.
I never left Hollywood. I'm
still making movies, still making music.
We haven't
still very popular.
We haven't seen much of
your,
you.
Your movies go direct to DVD now mostly though, right?
They do play on smaller screens.
Yes, okay. But I guess what I was going to say, Mr. Seagal, is that when we saw your product advertised, we kind of, I'll be honest, we chuckled a little bit because you don't strike us as an energetic guy. You seem a little low-key to be promoting something like an energy drink.
I have enormous energy.
Really?
I have enormous energy.
Okay.
And my body's in tip-top physical condition. Largely because of the studying I did when I was in Tibet, studying martial arts and Buddhism.
I see.
Okay, but when we've seen pictures of you in the paper, you look really, really fat compared to in your action hero days of 15 years ago. You don't look like you're in the top physical condition of your life, sir.
Well, everyone knows the camera adds about 100 pounds.
All right, now you got...
If you saw me in person, you would be shocked at my sinew.
Okay.
My rippling muscles.
Now
and
the,
my incredible vitality.
Now, the new energy drink is called Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt, yes.
Says it's the first of its kind. How's it different from any of the other energy drinks?
I formulated this energy drink myself personally.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I came up with it during my travels in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Most important part is the first energy drink ever to contain Asian cordyceps and Tibetan goji berry. Two of the most rare and treasured herbs in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
Okay.
Never heard of those.
Yeah, they sound kind of made up, like maybe it's one of those things that you're trying to advertise, make it seem exotic and expensive, yet it doesn't really do anything.
Are you Tibetan?
I am not, no.
Well, that's probably why you never heard of them.
Okay.
They're very treasured by the Tibetans and the Chinese for thousands of years, and they're rare and treasured.
Now,
incredibly treasured.
Nobody has ever put these into a drink before. Okay.
This is the first time they've ever been in an energy drink.
It will
make a difference in your life that you will not believe. It'll add energy, vitality, and make you'll get younger as you drink it.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Now, you're not Asian, right?
Well, depends on how you define Asian.
Well, somebody from that part of the world.
Your heritage is not...
I'm not Asian.
The paperwork says Lightning Bolt, an Asian experience energy drink.
That's one of our flavors. We have two flavors, Cherry Charge and Asian Experience.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Cherry Charge gives you a charge...
Of cherry?
Of cherry.
Okay, and the Asian Experience?
Asian...
What's that like, Steven Seagal? Is it like experiencing Asia?
That's not what it does for us. Why do you have an energy drink? You have less energy than anyone on the planet.
Steven?
Asian experience.
Yes.
Yes?
Tastes like dog.
Oh, no. That's not where I thought you were going.
Makes you wear welding helmets in the sun. It gives you the urge to open a nail salon.
Oh, okay. No one needs to
hear this. Your penis.
Steven,
don't you understand that there are some words that hurt? I mean, come on. You can't talk like that.
I would recommend the Cherry Charge.
That's not going to endear you to your Asian brethren.
No, it's not.
Cherry Charge, by the way, has Asian cordyceps and Tibetan goji berry.
Right.
Yes,
two of the most rare and treasured herbs.
You mentioned that.
Used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
Yes, we understand all that.
Treasured.
All right, we saw this
loosely thrown around. These
really? I understand they're treasured. Right? Listen, we
are they
saw...
plentiful though? Would you say they're all over?
No, I'd have to say treasured.
Treasured.
Okay. Okay. We saw the ad for the Lightning Bolt, the Steven Seagal energy drink in a magazine. But how else are you getting the word out to the people?
Well, Lightning Bolt is available in most popular grocery stores, 7-Elevens. Okay. But I am trying to get the word out. I'm advertising in magazines and also on television and radio. In fact, I'm advertising there at K-Rock.
That's your radio station. You have an ad on K-Rock now?
Not yet, but it will be airing sometime later this week.
All right.
And I believe I sent over the commercial there that we're going to be airing for the first time. You guys can play it on your show.
Fantastic. So this is a commercial for your Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Bolt energy drink.
All right, here you go.
Hey, everybody. Lightning from the Kevin and Bean Morning Show here, and I'm here to talk about Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink. And with me on the phone is listener Steve. Steve, you actually tried Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink, right?
That's right, Lightning.
I heard you talking about the fact that Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink contains Asian cordyceps and the Tibetan goji berry, two of the most rare and treasured botanicals used in Chinese and Tibetan medicine for thousands of years.
You didn't say
and
that.
And that it promoted energy, vitality, and longevity. So I just had to try it.
Wow. And how'd you like it?
Well, after I drank it, I was able to successfully battle terrorists on a boat and a train with my newly developed martial arts techniques and stop an evil oil corporation from desecrating sacred Indian burial grounds.
Right, wow.
Plus, I'm 8 years younger now than I was before I started drinking it. Oh, and now chicks really dig me, too.
Wow, and how long did you need to drink Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt Energy drink to get those results?
A month.
A month?
A month.
A month.
A month.
Whoa, Nelly! But what about the price?
Well, as you know, most other energy drinks cost thousands of dollars per can.
Sure.
But by switching to Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink, I was able to save over $4 million a year on my energy drink bill.
Incredible. Well, there you have it, folks. Not only will Steven Seagal's Lightning Bolt energy drink give you incredible martial arts skills, make you younger, and drive the ladies crazy, but it'll save you millions of dollars a year. And that's not energy drink bogusness.
Lightning, I don't know what they're talking about. I can hear the bass in your voice just fine.
Oh, well, thanks, Steve.
Was that you, Steven?
No.
Was that you on the phone?
That was a listener named Steve.
That sounds just like you.
Lucky man.
We try to build up all people,
but emos are not really people, right? A few days ago, we got on the topic of the emo kids. There was a Fox News story about the very disturbing trend that we, frankly, are against. And I think we were very outspoken about saying, don't go out and beat up emo kids, videotape it, put it up on the internet, and then send us the link where we can see it. That would be wrong, and
right.
We do not encourage you to do that.
We'd
if you're a
that.
Part of a video like this,
emo, get him.
We don't want to have anything to do with it. And then somehow we got on the topic of the emo jokes that are going around. And there are a lot of them, and they're great. And we need to bring them to you on the air, because nothing's funnier than an emo kid. And as Lisa points out, they're already sad. Why do you have to make them sadder?
Do you have that clip of the girl that's talking about the birds? Because that was a perfect example from that news piece.
Everything is falling apart, and, like, birds are dying. I mean, birds are dying, and it's like hard, you know, to like wake up every day and know that like there are bad things happening, and this bird was just like a symbol of that.
Yeah, right.
So why would anyone want to joke around about a poor emo kid like that? But then, you know, people started writing us, you know, how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb? You know, F them, just let them cry in the dark. I saw that one. And by the way, speaking of how many emo kids does it take to screw in a light bulb, the alternate version is you need three, one to replace it and two to write a poem about how much they miss the old one. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with the emo kids. How do you know an emo kid has been in your bathtub? The body is still there. It's no that. I mean, that's really more the kind of emo joke we're looking for.
Let's say good morning to Sean in Monrovia. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Sean.
Hey. Emo joke.
Yeah, I have a emo boy in my family tree. He's been hanging there for years.
Oh,
see because
yeah,
got it.
See the twist that took. Steve in Highland. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Steve.
What's your emo joke?
Hey, mine is how does an emo put on why does an emo wear his girlfriend's pants?
It was well delivered, but what's the punchline?
It's the only way he'll ever get in them.
Oh, I gotcha.
See, Lisa, yeah. Because he doesn't have skills.
Right.
Oh, never mind.
Right. Then how does he have a girlfriend? I don't know.
Laurel in Newport Beach, hello.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Laurel.
Emo jokes, what do you got?
Okay, why do emo kids wear their pants so tight?
Why do they wear their pants so tight? I give up.
Do you pump all their heart or blood to their tiny little hearts?
Okay.
That's okay.
David, what do you got?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning?
How do you keep an emo kid from drowning? I don't know.
Take your foot off his head.
That's a good one.
That's terrible. That's an awful joke.
That's a good one.
That's not even funny.
So don't do that.
Take your foot off his neck. All right. Nick in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Emo joke. What do you got?
Why do emo kids wear hair over their face?
Oh, good question. I've always wanted to know why.
To hide their black eyes.
That's good.
I wonder if he saw Spider-Man and the emo look that he had going.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man had
the
eyeliner.
Emo Spider-Man, exactly.
And he pulled the hair down over his eyes. I was like, what? Spider-Man's gone emo? Are you kidding
me?
He has.
He's got the black costume, the whole deal. You're absolutely right. He's listening to My Chemical Romance albums.
Jamie in Irvine, good morning.
Good morning. Hi. Why did the emo kid cross the road?
When did the emo kid cross the road?
Why?
I give up.
To get run over.
Okay. Maybe we'll end there. Maybe that.
What?
Maybe
you're going to end on that one?
The drowning might have been our peak.
Yeah, I'm worried that we're going downhill fast. I'm worried it'll get worse if we take Joe's call.
We can't end on why did emo cross the road. Joe?
Yes.
Give me a good emo joke so we can get out.
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo?
What would you call the Flintstones if they were emo? I give up.
All right, what?
Pussies.
I don't get it.
What is it?
Because pussies. Because anybody who would be emo, you would go and just call them that.
I didn't even hear that word.
I thought he said posties.
All right, let's try. I did too. Let's try Jake in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Jake.
Emo kid came home from school and told his dad he lost his virginity. His dad said, well, son, you have any questions? He said, yeah, I got one. When's my butt going to quit hurting?
Aww.
All right, just
one more.
We got to go out on an up note.
This is going to be a good one.
You think Jeff would look into Gail? You feel good about him?
I do, yes.
All right, Jeff.
Go ahead.
All right, what do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
What do you have when you have an emo kid buried up to his neck in cement?
Mm-hmm.
I give up.
What?
Not enough cement.
Okay, all right. All right, there you go. That's
not enough cement.
We're sorry, emo kids.
Don't
cut yourself.
No.
Good morning, you sausage gus. How are you?
Oh, Sean.
Well, listen.
How's it feel to have no gag reflex whatsoever?
Come on,
well,
Sean.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mr. Cattery, but we're calling because I guess you made...
You're too sucking...
All right, we got it. We know what your reference.
Draw a picture for you.
Mr. Cattery, we wanted to get you on the line because we heard that you finally issued a statement answering the question so many have been waiting for, which is that you're not going to be in the Indiana Jones 4 movie.
Yes, so many miserable suckers like yourself have asked me if I'm going to do another Indiana Jones film, so I thought it was best to make an announcement to everyone.
Okay, and that is that you're not going to do it no matter what.
No way.
All right.
It seems like a great project to be involved in, though. You got the Spielberg, and you got the Lucas, and you got the Ford, and it's a successful franchise. People are excited about it. They would love to see you up on the big screen in that role.
Well, I know that's the way some people feel, but frankly, I'm just not in the mood to work with Jews.
Oh, Sean.
Well, what are you talking about?
Spielberg.
Yeah.
What a Jew.
Come on.
He's arguably the greatest motion picture director of all time. How could you not want to work with Steven Spielberg?
Jew?
But you've talked about him and what a great experience this was on that 1989 movie.
A Jew.
Yes.
Sean, look, I know that you're retired and you don't have to worry about working anymore, but it just seems like that's not the type of thing you should feel, regardless of whether you should or should not say it.
Well, it also just seems like I don't give a flying
Wow.
But more importantly, I'm just enjoying my retirement so much I can't see myself going back onto a movie set.
Okay, so what is it that you spend all of your time doing, Sean?
Mostly I just go on long hunts.
Oh, dear God. Did we mention...
for some nice hot for me to stick my Scottish into.
Right. We are on the air, Sean. I don't know if we remembered to tell you that at the top, but we can't use language like that on the radio.
So I can't talk about dumping copious amounts of inside.
No.
Oh.
No.
What if I do them in the
No, oh. You can't talk about that.
What if I just splatter their with it?
Sean.
This is, come on, at
sometimes
some point.
I shoot it in their eyes.
Okay, all right.
Offensive.
They look like Nessie coming out of the water.
Oh.
All right. Look, maybe not so much with the interviews for you at this stage in your life.
I don't know. I kind of enjoy doing this.
This you like.
I'm strong. myself on the other end of the phone.
Okay, listen, okay. We gotta go.
Don't hang up yet, I'm not done.
Okay, we gotta go. Thanks. God's sake.
All right, goodbye.
First, mindless Hollywood chit-chat with our friend Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat.
Ordinarily, Beam would be right. This is the section of the show where I do the Showbiz Beat, and it is mindless Hollywood chit-chat, but I've been so fascinated by the story that's developed over the weekend involving our old pal O.J. Simpson in Las Vegas. And I've been following the story, of course, on TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. And I'm so compelled by this story and the latest developments, which just showed up on the website today. And I'm sure they will be covering a TMZ TV, their new TV show over there on Fox at 6:30 tonight. So I wanted to bring in our old pal, Harvey the Hammer Levin.
Yeah.
Harvey?
Hey, guys.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Is that you, Ralph?
It is. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
I just wanted to talk real quickly about, first of all, this whole O.J. Simpson situation, what happened in Vegas last week, and then the tape that we've heard on TMZ.com. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's really amazing. You know, until we got hold of the tape last night, again, it was a situation where Simpson's saying there was no, it wasn't really a big deal. I just went in and took my stuff. And, well, the tape kind of changes everything. I mean, O.J. Simpson is crazy out of his mind angry. And, you know, as soon as he leaves the room, you hear him say, you hear the guy, the alleged victim, Alfred Beardsley, say, I've just been robbed at gunpoint by O.J. Simpson.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, apparently the tape was recorded by a guy named Thomas Riccio, right?
Yeah. Riccio runs an auction house. And Riccio actually was kind of on O.J. Simpson's side in all of this because Riccio felt that Beardsley didn't have a right to sell all of this memorabilia. So Riccio helped set up this phony buyer that would walk into a hotel room in Vegas with O.J. Simpson, and Simpson was supposed to say, according to Riccio, uh-huh. Simpson was going to say, look, this is my stuff, either give it to me now or I'm going to call the police. Well, that's not at all what went down. They walked in the room, and Simpson went wild. And, you know, this is a six-minute confrontation. We've put 30 seconds up on the website so far. You're going to hear a lot more on the TV show tonight. But there is, you know, I told you what Beardsley says as soon as Simpson leaves. But during the confrontation, I mean, clearly something is going on where they could say, up against the wall, blank, blank. And,
right.
You know, and they're ordering these guys around and bagging all this stuff. So, you know, it was not the way Simpson was portraying it, and Simpson could be in a lot of trouble here.
So apparently there was some truth to the story that O.J. was telling cops that he was conducting his own personal sting operation regarding this stuff?
Well, the problem with the sting operation is if there's a gun involved...
Right, then it's a robbery.
and on top of that, they didn't just take Beardsley's, you know, the stuff that Simpson said was his. Beardsley had these Joe Montana lithographs. They took his sunglasses, you know. so you know, and to make everything worse for Simpson, the other guy who was arrested, I talked to his lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And the lawyer was really blunt with me. He said, look, he said, if the cops have the goods on my client, we're going to pre-bargain this, which probably means they're going to turn on O.J. Simpson and they'll make some kind of a deal, and theoretically a deal in return for testifying against Simpson. So not only is there a video, an audio tape, and not only do you have two eyewitnesses, alleged victims, but
right.
Now you could have a co-conspirator turning on him.
Now, as far as you know, Harvey, he's being charged with at least three counts by the Las Vegas PD, right?
Five
counts.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is serious, serious stuff. And, you know, now there's an issue of, is he going to get bail? Because O.J. Simpson, if ever,
there was a flight risk.
I mean, I think it's the classic case.
I think Al's gassing up the Bronco right now.
I was just thinking, if Al Cowings is in Las Vegas, O.J. Simpson ain't going to see the sunlight.
So he's been charged with robbery with a deadly weapon, right?
Right.
Conspiracy to commit robbery and burglary with a firearm.
Right.
So they're alleging that he actually had a gun as well as these other guys?
No. They're saying that nobody's saying that he was holding the gun. People are saying that others were holding either a gun or two guns.
Right.
And that's a big deal. That's why there was... And the cops have retrieved two guns. So, you know, what I heard from Beardsley was two guns.
Well, and, you know, that makes sense because O.J.'s always been a knife guy. So that's why he didn't have the gun with him.
You should, I mean, you know, you could hear a little bit on the tape, but wait, he is just out of control. for the 6 minutes. I mean, it is wild.
We've played a little of the tape earlier that we got off your website, Harvey, but tonight on Channel 11 Fox at 6:30, you'll be playing all 6 minutes of the altercation?
You're going to hear a lot more of it on the TV show, and it really is. I mean, some of the things that are said are just really revealing.
Well, folks, if you want to hear the rest of the tape, you should tune in tonight at 6:30 at Channel 11. Watch TMZ TV. It's a great show, and of course, the website has all the details as well. Harvey, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
My pleasure, Ralph.
Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
Wow, he could actually go to jail over this. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Out of all the things, ironically, 10 years ago, if you told me O.J. Simpson's going to go to jail in 10 years, but it's going to be for armed robbery.
It's going to be for lifting sunglasses and Joe Montana posters.
Right. I mean, his whole idea of this being a sting, I mean, is ridiculous to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think it is ridiculous because I think his head works so weird. His mind is so warped that he probably thought, I'm going to go in there right. like a cop, and right. I'm going to be like I was in Naked Gun, and I'm going to show up and with some armed buddies, and we're gonna you know take back what's mine.
Put yourself in OJ's frame of mind. When people use the figure of speech to describe someone who thinks they're above the law, they say, "Well, that guy, you know, he got away with murder." OJ Simpson
literally
got away with murder. So he's got a very skewed view on what's right and wrong.
Do we have the tape queued up? Can we play that? Here's a little piece of the tape that Harvey was talking about. This is one of the guys who went in with OJ, who agreed with him in believing that this other guy, Alfred Beardsley, was selling memorabilia that had been inappropriately received by him, either stolen or someone else had stolen and sold it to this guy. Whatever. There was a weird situation. This guy goes in with him, and just to cover his ass, smart guy, he runs a tape recorder in his pocket. So here you hear OJ just exploding on this Alfred Beardsley character in a hotel room in Las Vegas.
Now you can steal my
It's the best.
Who knew OJ had such a temper?
Yeah, well, I know two people who knew it. So, like I said, if you want to hear more of that, apparently there's 6 minutes of tape, by the way. That's just 30 seconds of it. If you want to hear more of it, you can tune into TMZ TV on Channel 11 at 6:30 tonight to see the whole thing. I was so over OJ after the whole murder thing, and I know he's sort of a clown, but this whole thing has just completely captured my attention.
He's amazing.
The way his mind works just fascinates me. He is so criminally insane.
By the way, OJ and your cronies out there, there's 6 minutes of tape. You might want to work on streamlining your robbery techniques. Because all
true.
I know is what I see in the movies.
Not
they're always trying to keep it
grab,
under like 2 minutes or
yeah.
something.
So there you go. There's my favorite story of the day. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Brave One, starring Jodie Foster. A vigilante drama. $14 million it made in its debut weekend. Number one by a long shot. Then 3:10 to Yuma. $9.2 million. Good enough to make it number two after being number one last week. Mr. Woodcock did pretty well. $9 million made it number three. And then Dragon Wars.
Yeah.
Dragon Wars. A movie we didn't know even existed until this weekend. Number four at the box office. Superbad, Halloween, The Bourne Ultimatum, Balls of Fury, Rush Hour 3, and Mr. Bean's Holiday rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Also last night were the Emmys. No, well, actually, there were some surprises. Here's a short list of your Emmy winners. Best Comedy Series, 30 Rock.
What?
Beat over The Office and some other more qualified nominees, if you ask me. Best Dramatic Series went to The Sopranos. No surprise there. A lot of people were speculating it would be given a goodbye gift as it left the airwaves. And it would be awarded Best Drama Series. And it was. Best Actor in a Comedy, Ricky Gervais, for his work on Extras over on HBO. Actress in a drama was Sally Field from a TV show called Brothers and Sisters, which, along with Dragon Wars, I had no idea existed. Actress in a comedy, America Ferrera in Ugly Betty. Best actor in a drama, James Spader.
I'm sorry, what?
James Spader for Boston Legal. Yeah, that Hugh Laurie's a hack. Yeah. That James Gandolfini.
No good.
No good at all. It's James Spader drinking cognac with William Shatner. He's the one who really put Axe Up a Storm over there on ABC. Best reality series, our pal Kathy Griffin won for her TV show My Life on the D-List.
We'll never talk to her again.
No, she's way too big for us. And best reality competition show, The Amazing Race won, as it does almost every year over there on the Emmys. I can't get over this OJ thing. I love it.
It's amazing. It's too good to be true.
Yes. And I'm gonna just roll around in it. Speaking of criminals who used to be famous, remember Fred Durst?
I do.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder whatever happened to Fred Durst, the frontman for Limp Bizkit?
Often. I mean, he's become kind of a mook and a punchline now. But mm-hmm. if you hearken back to 99, 2000,
hey.
Maybe the biggest star in the world as far as, you know, musically.
He was white hot. You know what he's doing with his time these days?
What?
Mowing down pedestrians with his car. According to CelebTV.com, Fred just pleaded no contest to 7 misdemeanors, which included assault, battery, and reckless driving, where Fred allegedly rammed into 2 Los Angeles residents on purpose back in October of 2006.
Wow.
Now Fred has to stay at least 100 feet away from the victims. He's got to pay a $1,500 fine and do 20 hours of community service. He also got a suspended jail sentence of 120 days. It's not bad for trying to run 2 people down with your
Seriously,
car.
Seriously, it's attempted murder.
That's a pretty good lawyer Fred's got right there. So that's how Fred spent his time, in case you were curious what he was up to.
He had a quote.
He's no OJ, don't get me wrong, but he's doing pretty well.
I hear he did it all for the nookie, though. Come on!
Stop it.
Come on.
Stop it. Jeez. I thought we'd get away with that stuff when Bean was on vacation.
Yeah. Taking over his laptop.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Doug E. Fresh. Yes, Doug E. Fresh. Last time I saw him, I think, was That Darn Cat. It's been a while since I've seen Doug E. Fresh. Wasn't he in that?
Doug E. Fresh was in the Get Fresh crew.
That's true, he was.
Good friend of Slick Rick.
41 years old today. Kyle Chandler from Friday Night Lights is 42. Baz Luhrmann.
Ah, Baz.
Australian director, of course, Moulin Rouge, Romeo and Juliet with... Leonardo DiCaprio. He's got another movie working on now with Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman about the Australians during World War II.
Yeah, crikey. Yeah.
He's 45 years old today. And Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Cassandra Peterson, who was, of course, a jock here on K-Rock also back in the day. Her and Rodney used to hang out quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Rodney, do you have anything to say about Miss Peterson?
All right. Halloween. What? Oh, we're a little punchy here. Sorry, kids. We'll get better. It's just Monday.
Right.
Tune in tomorrow for more of the Showbiz Beat. In the meanwhile, please enjoy the rest of the best of Kevin Bean. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the beat.
Tell me what did I miss, so please don't save something. Please not save nothing. Lose the halo, no need to resist. A lick of the lips and my grip on your hips. So sick, 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 don't resist. Sick, 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 don't resist. If there's no police, race is slipping to whatever fits you. Make something, make someone. They're gonna need, maybe I'm gonna please. Pouch your bottom lip while cracking the whip. You know what we want is candy to come down. Don't resist. Sick, sick, sick. Don't resist. Don't resist. come on. Better, better come on.
How about
Come
that?
On.
Fantastic.
That was awesome.
Nicely done.
You guys need to stay all day.
Michael, what's it like for you to not be in the band and then be in the band? Is that odd?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, what did you do before this band?
Playing in a band called Wires on Fire. And then just
and how did you hook up with Josh? What was that process
friends
like?
Friends of friends and friends and family.
Friendster.
Friendster.
Nice. Friendster.
We both took a nap together on Napster, and then we met at Friendster.
Very nice. Hey, guys. Psycho Mike, who's the ruggedly handsome, good-looking young man in the studio in the next room, he saw the Hot Rod. He saw a preview of Hot Rod, the movie, this weekend. Says you guys are all over it. What's that story? What's that all about?
Well, actually, we produced a band called Gown. And Gown is a hugely hip Canadian band in the 70s. They're famous for suing all the bands that had huge hits, accusing them of theft.
Excellent.
And we produced a song of theirs called Head Honcho that's used oft in the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mike said it was a really funny song, and you're not used to getting funny lyrics from guys. It's like either you're a serious band or you can do funny stuff.
Well, we recognize the comedy in all things, including our own music, and so it was easy to identify in Gown.
Gown. That's a hell
awesome.
Of a name.
Yeah.
Josh, I'm sure you get asked this all the time. Forgive me if it's a repeat, but I'm sure a lot
Heard
of people expect...
No.
A lot of people expected you, once the band got some success, you got a little money in your pocket, maybe to move out of the desert, but you love it there, right?
I love it there. I mean, I live here and there, so... I live a little bit everywhere.
When you guys played Coachella, when was that? 2-3 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was the strangest thing because every other band, it was a certain volume level. And then you guys were like double that. I just remember thinking, how do they turn it up so loud? Nice work, man.
That's Hutch over there. He's missing the first 15 dB of his hearing.
Is that right? So he has to really crank it?
So he thought it was normal.
It was the loudest thing I've ever heard.
Here's a little weird thing that happened, too. I was in the bathroom when you guys were talking about this OCD thing.
That's right. Washing his hands.
Washing my hands for the ninth time and saying... You know, mandatorily repeating everything from that 70s show like I have to.
Right.
And then you came
and then
in.
Then I came walking in on him. Yeah.
And I was like, oops.
I was like, hey, Josh, how about locking the door here, buddy?
I can't. I unlocked it 10 times.
So I want to ask you about a couple other quick things here, Josh. And in advance, we appreciate you getting up early and dragging your tired ass in here this morning. But is it true that you found an opening act for at least a portion of this tour from a demo that somebody handed you at the Bob's Big Boy in Burbank?
Well, yes.
Nice.
What's that story?
I was having eggs over medium with bacon.
Right.
And
eggs over my hammy or whatever that is?
No. That's Denny's.
Denny's. Oh, Denny's. Sorry.
We're talking Bob's. The fat kid.
Okay.
Bob's.
Come on, Kevin. Pay attention.
Sorry.
And a guy came up to me and handed me a demo, and I listened to it, and it's really good. It's a band called Gasoline Angels from here in town. And yeah, so we're taking them on tour. They're not signed, but...
But that doesn't happen. That's not a real story because that doesn't happen. That's only in the movies that happens.
We're kind of like a little bit of a drunken Make-A-Wish foundation. I'm not saying I want you to make a wish now.
Not now?
I don't know if what we can do this early, but we're willing to try, and I think that's the main difference.
Yeah, it's funny for the thousands of people who've handed out their demo tapes and never got them listened to. That's kind of cool.
We actually listened to at least 4 of the 1,000.
Well, there you go, and you found one, so you quit.
Well, no, I mean, you know, you get a feeling from somebody, and this felt really good. That didn't sound right.
No. But, what'd they say when you called them? Or you didn't call them. I guess you had people call them.
Yeah, well, I had my people do lunch with their people. Mm-hmm. No, they were stoked. I mean, they're on the tour, so They didn't say no, which was a good thing. You know, if you make a wish and then you say no to it when it happens, it's
yeah, we know we gave you our demo, but we're not interested in touring. Thanks.
I was just making conversation. I just want you to feel good. Yeah. Was there anyone who brought Queens up back in the early days? Was there anyone in music that really helped you, Josh, get this band up and running?
You know what? My first band, Caius, toured with Danzig, who is notorious for getting all sorts of bands early on their start and having great taste. And I mean, we played with so many great bands. It's kind of hard to mention, you know.
But sure.
You know, it's funny that Danzig actually is notorious for having bands open for him that end up doing something. Mm-hmm. You know,
and they have good taste. Apparently.
You know, we've played with all sorts of bands that I'm blanking basically.
No, sure. No, I know what you're saying. You had a lot of people who brought you along, and now you're kind of returning the favor, which is very cool. How do you decide when you sit down to write a new record? And I know you've got help, but you have the kind of the luxury of being able to pick and choose which guys you want to work on a particular project. Is it based on what the song is or based on what their schedules are? How do you put the band together every time you put a record together?
Well, Troy and Joey and I have been together for 6 years. At a commitment ceremony in Hawaii.
Nice.
We're going out. We're like going around, like we're steady. You
yeah,
know?
Steady nice. Dates. We do PDAs and stuff. And
but then you have other people in to join in the experience.
Well, I mean, you know, oftentimes it's, you know, people only have a little bit of time, and so you kind of take advantage of the moment when it's there. And we sense a love connection with our new friends here, Mikey and Mikey Shoes and Dino.
Mm-hmm. So you think this is going to last for like a week or two?
Three.
We've already done a commitment to have a commitment ceremony.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys are serious.
It's an early commitment.
All the Queens albums are worth picking up, along with the Eagles of Death Metal, the Desert Sessions. You guys have made a lot of good music over the years. It's awesome of you to take the time to come out into the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate you guys.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
I'm just saying maybe all people should not be dealing with animals. Elephant from Zishuangbanna
hey!
In southern Yunnan has recovered hey! From a serious heroin addiction. Yep.
That's what happens, by the way, when you leave elephants at home after school unsupervised.
Nope.
This is why they need activities.
This elephant is named Big Brother, was fed heroin-laced bananas.
Why?
Because the guy who was training him thought that it would make him easier to control and thereby control the other elephants.
Aww.
He was using the elephant for work?
I believe so, yes. It just says it was easier to control him and his herd.
Could have been a
that
circus.
That seems like an expensive way to keep your animals in line, doesn't it?
While driving the herd back to Zishuangbanna, Big Brother started drooling and bellowing and even tried to run away. The police were surprised to learn from one of the traders that it was suffering from withdrawal symptoms from heroin.
Oh, you don't want an elephant doing that.
No,
oh,
you don't.
Oh, my God.
No, you don't.
I think there's a lot of things wrong with this particular
<You think>?
Story.
Well, we asked producer Lightning if there's somebody he could line up, and I think we do have somebody from the China Daily who can tell us more about this actual true story that's in the paper this week. Good morning. Kevin and Bean Show here from K-Rock. Who's this?
This is Big Brother.
This is
You're the elephant that we were talking about in the story?
Yeah.
Wow. I've been doing this show so long, you'd think I would have seen that coming.
I think so, because we use the same silly voice and the same bit every time we do something like this.
That is true.
Surprised you're surprised.
So how are you feeling now, Big Brother? I understand you've been through rehab.
I'm jonesing for a fix, bitch.
Yeah.
Damn, I want to get high so bad. Yeah. I'm like Scott Weiland at Winnie Rose.
Oh,
it's got to be tough
for
you.
Big Brother.
Oh, yes, my bad. Yeah. Yeah, I hooked him on heroin. Yeah, I'm the bad guy.
You did?
You're right, he never did heroin. My bad. Whoops.
So
with the groaning, bitches.
So, Big Brother.
Very unhappy elephant.
The story is true. Your owner was feeding you heroin-laced bananas, and that's how he was able to get you to do his bidding.
First of all, he's no owner, okay?
He's not an owner.
No, he was a legal elephant trader.
Okay.
Those are people who take elephants illegally in the wild and sell them into captivity.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that's just sad.
Read the goddamn story, people!
Yeah. Didn't get that far down.
Read that story!
Now, is it true?
I gotta do everything!
Is it true, Big Brother, that you were...
I'm so angry.
You sound angry.
I could stomp help you with my big elephant feet.
Is it true that you were sent to rehab?
Yes, at the Tropical Wildlife Park. That's okay. Also in the story, about three quarters way down.
No, I see it. That's what I was asking
you
about.
You get the paperwork in the beginning of the show. Read it.
It cracks me up that anywhere they're actually providing this service for elephants.
Well, they had no choice. Otherwise, I'd go crazy. I run amok. And you don't want an elephant being amok.
No.
No, you certainly don't.
So, okay, so they're giving you grass and sugarcane fruit, and then with that methadone, I guess 50 milligram doses of methadone, and that's how they helped you kick the heroin.
Yes, and I tell you something, grass, sugarcane, and fruit, pour something to for heroin. I want heroin, not sugarcane.
Oh, now, yeah. It says in the story you've been off it for a year. You still want it?
Yes! Oh. I love heroin. I love it all high and then watch television, just nod off. Just sleep on couch.
You're an elephant.
Watching episodes of Cops. Oh, that was the good life. Now I'm back in the wild. Now I have to get my own leaves off of trees and crap.
Yeah.
I just order a pizza.
That's true.
It sucks being a heroin addicted elephant.
I'll bet it does.
You have no idea.
I bet I don't.
No, you don't. I bet you don't.
Pretty sure.
I bet a lot of things.
I'm pretty sure I don't realize what it's like to be a heroin addicted elephant.
That's when I'm back in Shishwang Bana. Walla walla bing bang.
What you're about to hear is edited and made up. I'm going to sue for libel.
However, having said that, you're never going back to Las Vegas again after this most recent trip, are you?
Probably not.
Ralph, am I wrong about this? Does Kevin not remember the magic?
He may have a different perspective on it. He may have a different memory of what it was like.
We're not going to play that now, are we?
What'd you do Sunday night, Kevin? How late were you out? Monday night. How late were you out Monday night before Tuesday morning show?
You know what's funny about that? And I can't, for the life of me, understand how this happened. But Sunday night, I didn't sleep a wink. I was up all night, just went straight to the remote and worked on Monday.
That show.
You drank about 5 a.m., and then we were on the air about 5:30.
And right? I was in way worse shape on Monday than I was on Tuesday because I got, 2 hours of sleep or something. But Tuesday, I was slurring like a crazy man, and I didn't know why.
You said because your mouth was dry.
Because I was in much worse shape on Monday
than
I was on Tuesday.
But it's day two of a two-day bender. You're always going to be in worse shape. Doesn't matter how much sleep you had or what you drank. You're on the second half of a long weekend.
And all I remember is a couple of times thinking, "Wow, I just really slurred that. I don't feel drunk. I don't feel like I should be slurring." But when
you were
I opened my mouth,
a sober man trapped in a drunk body. That's what it was.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you.
You may be being too hard on yourself. We do have some tape from yesterday morning when we came on the air.
Maybe we're wrong.
Let's not do this.
Maybe we don't remember it right. Maybe you're right.
The first thing I know is that when we open the show, we have this big intro for folks who are listening at 5:30, and it ends with, and now here's our feature production, right? And then you're not there. There's no Kevin at all, right? So I start talking, and I open up the show and welcome everybody and start talking about it. And then you come running in like a man possessed, plop down in your chair, reach over and grab the water right out of my hands and start chugging it.
Yeah,
and start
did.
Chugging it.
He was take his water.
Let's hear the tape.
That's wait, help yourself to my water, by the way.
I don't care.
Go ahead and help yourself. I don't care. You can get more.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did. So we're looking at Kevin and we're like, dude, what's up? Then this happens.
Kevin, what about today's show?
I don't know. I just got here.
Yeah. Sound familiar? Any of this sound familiar to you?
You're honest.
Sure, yeah.
At least you don't try to pretend you know what you're doing when you're loaded. That's when you're sober, you try to keep all the balls in the air.
Look, who can pretend like they've got it all together less than me?
I don't know what's going on today. What are you looking at me for?
Just got here. My favorite one was when we were coming out of the song, and there's no audio for this, but it was just Kevin usually, when we come out of a song, will say you're listening to Kevin and Bean show. He just had no time for it and just went and just pointed at Bean, just kind of sloppily pointed at him as if, you go. I'm not doing it. No.
Come on.
All right, let's go on.
How dare you?
I left within 20 minutes of when Alex left.
Oh, well, you're a liar.
Listen to how she sounds.
I'm sorry, how you sound. Know?
And why do you sound so loaded?
Yeah. Well, I was considerably
more drunk. You left Jet, and then what did you do after?
Where did you go?
What did
then
you and Dave do
I
after?
To my nice bed.
Mm-hmm. I went to my nice
went
bed.
To my nice bed.
Come on, people. Let's say hello to Kevin's wife. The lovely Melissa is on the line right now. Melissa, seriously, you're lucky we brought your husband back alive from this one.
I don't really care that you brought him back.
Hey, how dare you?
And he's so good, too.
this. So he doesn't call me the whole time you guys are there, right?
Right.
And it's not like we have small children or anything or any reason to check in.
Sure.
So I figure I'll do what I always do. I go online and I pull up his credit card and I can figure out where he is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, who knew that?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Wow. The credit card police.
You have to understand when you're married to Kevin that you have desperate means, you know?
Come on.
So I see a $2,000 charge from a strip club.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And I think to myself, $2,000? Well, maybe dinner. It was a big buffet.
Those?
I don't know.
Yeah, because strip clubs are known for their meals, Melissa.
Those girls need to make a living too, people.
That's right. And you know, and I know you're a giver, Kev.
Thank
you. I love that about you.
Thank
but,
you. Thanks for calling. Bye bye now. What kind of shape was he in by the time he got home? Was he all right?
Let me tell you about when he got home last night. I had a beautiful dinner, Valentine's all laid out. It was gorgeous. I spent all day doing it. He comes in the house, he goes, I got to work, and then I got to go to bed. And he didn't even talk to me or anything.
I sat and watched curling. Happy Valentine's Day.
You romantic bastard.
Yeah.
Maybe he missed me, but obviously with the $2,000, and then when I brought that to his attention, he goes, it was for Dave. It was for the guys. I didn't do it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah. He's a giver. You're right.
What can Dave get?
I heard Kevin was sitting in the parking lot just waiting for them to have their fun, and when they came out, he was going to drive them back to the hotel.
Thank you, Ralph. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. How much is a lap dance?
$2,000. I think a lap dance is about 50, but you got to remember how many they got.
Right.
Well, how many...
Dave,
Kevin, just get them all.
Dave, then when you're in the champagne room, you know, you got to buy all the champagne for the girls, and then you got to buy their thongs and stuff for them.
Oh, sure. I remember now, finally. You know what happened? Is stupid bald Brad, our friend.
Brad. It's always Brad.
We were sitting in a certain location, and and so then I go to the bathroom, and I come back, and they move to another booth. And the waitress comes up to me and she says, oh, by the way, for sitting here, this bottle of, I don't even know what it was $400. And I looked at Brad and I said, what's going on? And he said, oh, just take care of it.
Yeah, by the way, why didn't Brad throw his card? Why are you Diamond Cavs?
Because I was
loaded.
He was an easy mark, Melissa, that's why. He was an easy mark.
All right.
Come home and you explain to your children why they're not going to college because daddy was buying lap dances.
I am not. Hey, listen, those girls need to go to college too. They're all working their way through college.
Melissa, I'm delighted that you called. I want you to turn the radio back on because we have a couple more quick clips we need to play before we run out of time, okay?
I don't want to hear them.
No, bye now. Bye now.
Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. Happy Valentine's Day. All right, real quick, what happened next yesterday?
World's largest, follow me here, world's largest Mr. T collection.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got that complex concept across to our radio listeners, Kevin.
Follow me now.
Follow me. Largest.
I didn't think I sounded that way. I mean, I thought I sounded that way a little bit, but I didn't think I sounded anything that extreme.
And then finally, one more.
So we got that coming up today, too, and a whole bunch more. And we're going to do the Ralph Showbiz beat when we get back on K-Rock.
Good times. Come on. How are you going to treat a brother like that?